So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
Dawn Jackson Blattner joins us now, author and registered dietitian and nutritionist. You may follow her on Instagram at DJ Blattner. A lot of you just click on DawnJacksonBlattner.com, and we click on her every week on the radio or as often as we can. Hi, Dawn. Welcome back.
Well, hey. Thanks for having me back.
I'm thinking vegetables when I eat my snacks.
Yes.
You suggested the other day, don't have potato chips. Sometimes that's just sort of, you know, a routine. It's like a habit. Celery, I think, it's not the same, but celery can work the same way a potato chip does sometimes. And so I usually leave our conversations with a little nugget from you, and that one has been in my ear lately.
Oh my gosh. You know, that's A+ from this dietitian to you. I'm giving you an A+. I love it. Whether it is a crunch from nuts that you want or a crunch from vegetables, definitely a great option. Even if you pair it with chips, to add that good nutrition is doing your body good. I mean, I can hear your body thanking you, actually, John. I can hear it thanking you.
Well, last week you also talked to us just briefly because I or one of our listeners asked about bubble water. Like, if you're drinking a LaCroix, and you said, oh my gosh, that's just as good as regular water. Do I remember that correctly?
Yes, it gets you hydrated, but we did talk about the only thing I would say is make sure that you're drinking some plain water after you drink the bubbly water, sparkling water, just to make sure it's not on your teeth.
And in terms of hydration, if I'm drinking coffee or beer or Kool-Aid, you know, anything that's water-centric, and all of those things are, I know there's some baggage with that, but am I accomplishing my goal of getting water if the water has coffee in it or beer in it or Kool-Aid in it?
Great question. So you get credit for drinking water for both your tea version and your coffee version. There's an old wives' tale that says, oh my gosh, you know, coffee has caffeine and that's so dehydrating. But it is not true. You really do get well hydrated from coffee or tea. But I'm not going to give anyone credit for drinking sweetened beverages as their liquid, like Kool-Aids or sodas. We know that that is the number one source of added sugar in people's diets, and that's a real inflammatory food. So no credit on that one. And what's the other thing?
Beer.
Yeah, and I'm not going to give credit for hydration with beer, although it is mostly water. It's just, you know, as a dietitian, I can't suggest getting hydrated with alcohol. That's the only thing. But the coffee and tea, I do also suggest, especially with the coffee, which has more caffeine than tea, to really end it early in the day. That, you know, people I know will say to me, they say, oh, you know, I could drink coffee all the way up until bedtime. And it doesn't affect me. And I'm telling you, it does affect you. So trying to keep your coffee, that heavy caffeine, you know, earlier in the day and then go to something with less caffeine like tea in the afternoon is a very smart idea. That's called responsibly caffeinating your human body.
What if I choose diet soda, though? Now I'm having water with my soda and I'm not getting sugar. Do you like that idea?
Ah, this is a good one. Okay, so I do count one soda a day as toward your diet soda a day toward your hydration goals. But after that, no. After that, I say, listen, then you got to really swap yourself to something that has no artificial sweeteners in it, no coloring in it. And, you know, bottom line is you're always, always, always going to be best hydrated when you're drinking plain water. Although, if you are really a heavy sweater during exercise, one of the things to keep in mind is electrolytes can really help hydration when you're in a dehydrated state. But otherwise, water, plain and simple, is always going to be your best choice.
But then you do like a Gatorade or something like that, a sport drink.
Well, no, I'm more of a purist because for sports drinks, they have a lot of added sugar. And for most people, you know, hey, if you're doing two-a-day workouts and you really need that extra sugar, go for it. Gatorade is made for heavy, heavy, heavy duty exercises. But if you're doing, you know, an hour or less at the gym, it would be more like the electrolytes that have no added sugar. So you can find tabs or you can make one yourself where all you're doing is coconut water with a pinch of salt, and that can be nature's electrolyte mix.
Yeah.
And having that, you know, sometimes people do that first thing in the morning, since you're the most dehydrated when you wake up, since you've just had 7 or 8 hours of, you know, not drinking anything.
I'm not going to do that. I'm not getting out coconut water and a pinch of salt and stirring it up and making my electrolyte-friendly beverage.
You never know. Here's the thing I know about you. You never know. Once in a while, you surprise us all that you do something and you're like, it's pretty good.
But if I'm going to buy something from the shelf at the store, then what is your recommendation, Ray?
Make sure that whatever electrolyte tabs or powder you're using, just double check the sugar. Most of us really do not need any added sugar in there. And electrolytes primarily are sodium based. And so if you're somebody who's watching blood pressure, you also want to check those electrolyte tabs, that you're looking for something that's like 5% sodium, as opposed to some of them on the market could be 20 or 30% sodium, which is great for sweaty athletes. But if you're somebody who's watching salt, beware of the amount of sodium in those.
815 says, I drink Hint water, H-I-N-T, from Costco.
Oh, yeah.
It has natural flavors. Good or bad?
I love it. That's a very great option. Actually, you know, having all of these options around you is a great idea, because you're more likely to be hydrated when you have a lot of variety. But, you know, going for Hint, if you love that sort of vibe of the natural flavor, I mean, you could just have water and put raspberries in it and let it soak, you know, and drink it. Or they have, like, great flavors like raspberry lime. You could do that yourself, too, if you don't want to spend the money.
Sometimes Brenda would just put a pitcher of water in the fridge with some fresh lemons cut up in there. And that works. That's kind of nice.
Oh, it's like spa water. I mean, this is why people do it in the spa. You know, cucumbers, lemons.
Yeah.
It could be berries in there. I mean, even things like mint, so great in water.
Yeah.
I think that is genius. And then look at you. You feel like you're having a little spa day with your flavored water.
I put a roast beef sandwich in there one time, and that didn't work out the way I thought it would. Here's a question. Are plant-based burgers good or bad? We were talking about this the other day. My understanding is they're higher in sodium, even if they don't have, you know, animal parts in them. They're plant-based. What's your read on plant-based burgers?
Oh, boy. Plant-based burgers are not a health slam dunk. And here is why. Because if you actually read the ingredient list, there's really not a lot of plants in most of these things. There's a lot of protein concentrates and protein isolates and gums. They're pretty heavily processed food. So it doesn't mean you can't have plant-based burgers, but just make sure that they are really rounded out with actual plants. So meaning you have this plant-based burger, okay, fine, occasionally, but make sure you have a lettuce and tomato and onion on it. Make sure you have it with veggie sticks or a side salad. Actually having plants around your plant-based burger, since most of them aren't actually made out of true whole plants. Although, you know, once in a while you can find a plant-based burger when you go into the grocery store, read the ingredient list, that's actually made out of beans and lentils and vegetables.
Those are good
that
things.
That would be a great option.
But those are good things.
That would be a great option.
Okay, but I thought that's what most plant-based burgers were made out of, that it was...
Unfortunately, like a lot of, you know, the Impossible Burgers and Beyond Burgers and things that you find in like fast food joints that they're doing now with all of these plant-based burgers, it's really not whole food. They're just basically like protein powders and gums holding them together. So bottom line is, again, it's not demonizing any food. It's just saying, please don't get those and think, wow, I'm so healthy. You can say, wow, I'm, you know, not eating meat right now, but I've really... still, I'm not eating a whole plant food like beans or lentils or tofu or tempeh or edamame or something like that.
Well, somebody who runs a plant-based restaurant in Chicago told us last week that the main reason that people are vegan now and are looking for vegan options when they eat out is not because they prefer plant-based foods to, say, animal-based foods, but because they don't want to be part of the food process when it's an animal-based food. So therein lies their motive. So if you said that the plant-based burger and a cow-based burger are even, they would still choose the plant-based for those other reasons. And that's sufficient for a lot of folks, right?
Well, I'll tell you, that is not necessarily true on what research is saying is why people are choosing them. Because of health reasons. A lot of times people mistakenly think all plant-based burgers are the healthier choice. And that I'm here to say that's not necessarily true. Now, is it true that some burgers absolutely are made with beans and lentils and veggies? Yes. So bottom line is read the ingredient list and see what you're actually eating. So even if you're at a restaurant, you might even ask, you know, what is this made out of, you know, because they can tell you if it's a branded product or if it's actually something they make in the back kitchen with lentils and beans and veggies.
Well, my son is losing some weight and eating smarter these days. And I bought a New York strip steak the other day thinking that that was a lean cut of meat and a nice option for us. I wonder what you think about that. Because I said, well, it's protein and it's not that much fat. So, hey, enjoy this. And he looked at me like, I'm not sure this is the best idea for me. What's your thought about that?
Well, so I am what you call a flexitarian, a flexible vegetarian. So that means, bottom line is, I'm not anti-meat. I'm just pro-plant. So if I was to have somebody who says, you know what, I want a steak, it has great protein, I would say you are absolutely right. And let's make sure we round that out with plants. And what would that be? We'll have a baked sweet potato fries with that. That's a plant. Have a salad with spinach and nuts and berries and all sorts of broccoli and radish and plants around that meat. So, you know, having protein by itself like that is not a well-balanced meal. But having a little bit of it surrounded by plants actually is a very smart sort of even Mediterranean style of eating, because still, if you look at your plate, it's mostly plants with just, you know, a little bit of meat.
Well, would you say a 93% lean hamburger is as good a choice as one of these alternative plant-based burgers?
I think it depends on what your goals are. So some people, you know, for animal rights reasons, they really need to lean into, or even climate. They lean into these plant-based burgers. So that's great, but make sure they're actually made out of plants, right? Make sure they have beans and lentils and veggies in there. But if you're somebody who enjoys a beef burger, you can still make that a very well-rounded meal by having all those veggies and, you know, sweet potatoes and things around it.
Okay, short answer to this. I got to take a break. Then we'll take some calls. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. What's your question for flexitarian, nutritionist, dietitian, and author Don Jackson Blattner? If I put cheese on my burger, what kind of cheese would you suggest I put on my burger?
Okay, so the answer is not American cheese, because it's really not cheese. So it could be real cheddar cheese. It could be real Swiss cheese. It could be any type of cheese that's not American cheese.
Fair enough. But then you don't care if it's cheddar, or I thought the whiter cheeses were healthier, if you will, or not as unhealthy.
No. And actually, you know what? A new study came out about cheese not being as devilish as we all think. So when I'm buying cheese, I do look for the ones that are like the thin slices. You know, they started selling those.
Yeah.
So it's not like a huge slice of cheese. It's just enough to get flavor. But, you know, a dab will do you. As long as it's just like a slice as opposed to eating a whole board full of cheese, that's really where it's at. It's, you know, the moderation angle.
Yeah, I had that thin slice of cheese. I used three of them. Don Jackson Blattner, donjacksonblattner.com. I think people, as they sort of struggle to get through January with all of their goals, are susceptible to stress eating and drinking, even though they're trying to eat and drink less. What tips do you have for those folks, Don?
Oh, my gosh. I've gotten so many texts and emails about this very question. Okay, so here's what I say. The first step is to set yourself up for success by eating regular meals. Sometimes people are like, I'm stress eating. And I'm like, well, are you really, or are you literally just so hungry that it feels like stress eating? So bottom line, you know, before we even call stress eating, just make sure your nutrition is set for, you know, throughout the day. Okay, then let's say it really is stress eating that you're like, okay, no, dude, this is, I'm telling you, it's stress eating. So such an interesting thing. We've all heard of fight or flight. That's, you know, our sort of stress hormones, our stress system. Well, the opposite of that is called the rest and digest system. And in order to really, truly digest your food and not be a stress eater, you need to get yourself from fight or flight into rest and digest. And it is actually very easy to do. There's one thing that we need to do, and that's get oxygen. The minute you breathe deeply, you start releasing that fight or flight and get into rest and digest so that you have a better shot at saying, oh my gosh, maybe I'm not as stressed out right now just because I have oxygen in me. So breathing, I got to tell you, seems like a ridiculous piece of advice, but it's systematically in your human body. It works because oxygen is magic. And then the second thing would be definitely make sure you're not multitasking. A lot of times stress eating is happening because we're watching TV, we're looking at our phones, we're doing our work at our computer, you know, we're just tempo from coming in from the day of work and going right to the cabin and eating. It's like, okay, no, take a breath and don't multitask and you will be less likely to stress eat. It is the truth.
I was at the DePaul game last night. I was a nervous wreck. I don't know if I enjoyed it or not. My team won. But I noticed that I was just chewing popcorn. I had a big bucket of popcorn. I was eating it, not because I was even enjoying it, but I was like, I was nervous. I thought, I got to start chewing gum or something because I had that motion. I knew exactly, my knee was bouncing up and down. I was so stressed watching the game. Probably a classic example there, right?
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that's like, what else could we use for coping? I love that. But also, you think about where your breath was. You know, when you're feeling very nervous, usually you're breathing like just in your throat, and it's not like actually breathing deep oxygen.
Oh,
so when you're feeling stressed out, you know, whether it's you're watching sports, you have a big presentation to do at work, or something is really, you know, you've just come in from a long day of work, and now you've got all this dinner to cook. It's like, okay, let me see if I can get oxygen in and just like sort of get all those stress hormones and chemicals that are pumping and pulsating through my body to calm down.
2 minutes left, Dawn. Let's do short answers to these questions. How about low-sodium vegetable juice instead of Gatorade? Do you like that as an alternative?
Oh, that's fun. Yes, I love it. Good idea, yes.
Can Dawn comment on red wine? Is it good for metabolism?
Okay, so here's the whole situation with drinking is... Yeah. If you choose to drink, okay, so it's not saying anyone should start drinking, but if you do choose to drink, it's really the poison is in the dose. So for women, it is 5 ounces of wine or less daily, and you can't add them up and drink them all at once. And for men, it's 2 5-ounces daily or less that is associated with some health benefits. However, you got to really make sure that this isn't, you know, it's a slippery slope. Let's just say that's a slippery slope where alcohol, if done in more portion than that, it does become a true poison to your body.
Glass of water with a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar first thing in the morning, good or bad?
Not a magic bullet, like everybody says. However, if you do like it, I'm a big fan of it. Again, though, making sure you swish with plain water after you do that so the acid is not sitting on your teeth. Some people will find better blood sugar control and maybe even a better appetite control by doing something like that, but not a magic bullet that everyone needs to do.
Hey, Dawn, believe it or not, last night we had Impossible Burgers at home, and I was dying of thirst a few hours later, and I couldn't figure out why. Thanks for the information and encouragement.
Oh, that's great. Yes. You know what? I got to say, the salt angle of things, anytime you look at how much salt is in our diet, it's from processed foods. And that, you know, unfortunately, many of these plant-based burgers aren't just like, you know, lovely beans. They're very processed and pretty high in sodium. So good at listening to your body, too. I like when people listen and then they, you know, say, oh, look at that. Too much salt.
And this one's directed at us here at the radio station. Come on, WGN. More Dawn. So informative. Dawn, we'll talk next week. I have more text messages from our listeners. We couldn't get to them all, but we'll pick it up here next week. Fair enough?
I love it. And hey, are you sure that wasn't one of my parents writing that? You know, sometimes they can be my biggest fan.
A lot of our listeners. Dawn Jackson Blattner. You can follow her on IG at DJ Blattner, and DawnJacksonBlattner.com is her website. We'll talk again, Dawn.
Thanks, John. Have a great day.